The reading today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Matthew 7:24 is literally the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We've looked at it since last September. It's been going for a long time. And we've worked through this sermon that Jesus gave, and now we are actually literally at the conclusion of it. So we're going to look at this little passage, and here we go. This is it. This is the whole thing. Easy, isn't it? But the first word is really important. Therefore is really important in this section, and we're going to look at the therefore for a few minutes. The therefore looks back over chapters 5 to 7, and it looks at how Jesus corrects wrong thinking. It looks at wrong attitudes and how they can be corrected to right attitudes. Blessed are the merciful, when actually we're looking for revenge and vengeance. And Jesus just challenges a whole bunch of attitudes. Then you have this little section, and it starts with, you heard that it was said, but I say to you. And Jesus challenges the whole concept of a culture, a religious culture that had been established for centuries. And he says, you heard it was said, but I'm saying something different to you. And he speaks about it through anger and adultery, divorce, oaths, revenge, how you treat your enemies. And he brings it predominantly to the heart, not the attitude, not the action. So he says it's how we think about things. So he talks about anger being internal, not simply an expression of hate, but the very fact that inside we are angry with someone. He speaks about adultery as being of the heart, not an action. And he just goes on. And it is profoundly different. And we've seen that as we've walked through since last September. He promotes positive living. Seek first his kingdom. How positive is that? When you think of all the things we could seek, all the things we could put our foundations on, Jesus says, no, actually, seek first God's kingdom. And he begins to talk about giving, how we give, how we pray, how we fast, how we judge others. And actually, we shouldn't judge others, but we do, don't we? We need to reject false teaching, and we need to seek God. That's why the therefore is there. Because Jesus is trying to suggest at the end of this whole message, that we look back and see where he's come from, what he's been saying, therefore. And now he can move on. Thank you. The next word is everyone. It comes up twice, verse 24 and in verse 26. Who's the everyone? Thank you. Verse 5, verse 1 says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. But at the end of 7:28, just at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority. So the everyone is inclusive of those who seek to follow Jesus as his disciples, and those who are curious, the crowds. There were loads of people listening to Jesus teach this. He called his disciples to him, but the crowds came as well. I would be staggered if today, in Highfields, in this service, there aren't those two types of people. I'd be amazed. There'd be those who would seek to follow Jesus and they would confess to wanting to be his disciple and say, I want to follow him. And there'll be others who'll be here because a friend has brought you, or you're just walking off the street, or something's brought you here, and you really don't even think about following Jesus, but you're curious. Who is this man? Well, I have to tell you, when the crowds heard Jesus speak, they were amazed at his teaching. And he had authority. So if you're curious today, you need to listen to Jesus. You just might be one of the crowd of the first century and be amazed at his teaching. And listen to one who has authority. How different to the weeks and the months we've had of listening to people who we don't trust. You can trust Jesus. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. So here we go. Thank you. There are two sentences. Was a sentence repeated? The rain came down, the storms rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. And this is really fascinating because the storm hits both houses. Thank you. So there's nothing more certain than the storms will come in our lives. They will come. They will affect us physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. They can be profound in how they strike us. They can be short, intense thunderstorms. We had them this week. Were you in when the thunderstorm in Cardiff, when the thunderstorm came? It was a shocker. And it was quite short, but it was profound. And now the storms in our life can be short and be profound. Just a relentless downpour for a short space of time. Or there can be a prolonged, intense gale. And it hangs like a cloud over us for weeks and for months, sometimes for years. And it's always there. Whatever you do, wherever you go, in the happy times, the sad times, whatever, it is always there. It hangs like a shadow over our lives. This is the storm that Matthew 7 is speaking about, that Jesus is addressing. And it consumes our thinking. It robs us of peace of mind and heart. It could be illness. It could be redundancy. It could be bereavement, relational breakdown, destruction of our reputation, criticism. It could be the result of the referendum. How did you feel on Friday morning when you got up and heard the news, if you didn't stay up all night to listen to it? How did you feel? What was your first reaction? No matter how you voted, what was your first reaction? Uncertainty? Anxiety? Upset? Joy? I don't know. It might have been a cloud. It might have been the storm. Normally, storms are intrusive, unexpected, and uninvited. You don't want storms to come. And normally, we can be unprepared for it. If you've heard this last couple of minutes and you don't relate to this at all, I'd be staggered. But if you don't, get ready. Because it will. Oh, yes, it will. The storms will hit. We are none of us exempt from the storms that hit our lives in some way or another. Whether it's the short punch or it's the protracted length of suffering or whatever it might be, it will come. And the plan is to prepare for it. Thank you. So here we go. Two builders. One built his house on rock. One built his house on sand. One was wise. One was foolish, said Jesus. So we're going to look now at foundations. Thank you. Storms, listen really carefully. Storms do not develop foundations. They reveal the foundations you've laid. When the storm hits, is not the time to start planning your foundation of your life. because storms reveal the foundation of your life. You don't tend to see the foundation until the storm comes. You take it for granted. There's this lovely verse in 1 Corinthians 3:11. It says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in Matthew 7. He's saying, I'm the foundation. Make me the foundation of your life. But it goes more than that. 1 Corinthians 3 is this lovely picture, metaphor of our life. Verse 9 says that we are God's building. And then verse 11 says that Jesus is the foundation. And verse 16 says that God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, lives within the building. Do you see God's involvement in our life? Do you see the involvement he wants to have in our life? That he is our building. He owns us. He bought us. And we're going to remember that later on in the service. He bought us. But he's the foundation that allows our life to stand in the storms. And his Holy Spirit lives in us to help us become more like him. This is amazing involvement of God in our lives. And he's the only foundation, says Jesus, that can help us withstand the storm. Now, the assurance is not the absence of storms. Remember that, what we're saying? It isn't that become a Christian, no storms. That's not so. It's the foundation that allows our lives not to collapse and sink when the storms come. That's what Jesus is getting at right now. Thank you. So he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And then he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man. So they both hear. See, they both build a foundation, but they both hear. So hearing, thank you, is really important because it's common to both builders. Hearing or listening is the first essential of any kind of response. So the question is, I suppose, what kind of listener are you? How do you hear Jesus speak to you? How are you listening to what he's saying to you? Come with me to Mark 4, 13 to 20. Jesus tells the parable, we call it the parable of the sower. It's actually the parable of the soils. And then he explains the meaning to his followers. Thank you. This is how Jesus' explanation. Stay with me, I'm going to read for a minute. You ready? Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. So the word is the word of Jesus. Go to Matthew 7 and imagine this is the word of Jesus now. Okay? Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it and produce the crop, some 30, some 60, some 100. The common factor is everyone heard, but they heard differently. How are you at listening? How are you at hearing? Because one person heard and it was really hard. It was a total rejection. Not interested. Not interested. Others heard, thought it was wonderful until it started getting difficult and the storms came, the equivalent of the storms in Matthew 7, and they just walked away. But initially they thought it was wonderful. Then another one heard, and as they heard what Jesus was saying to them, it began to hit against the priorities of their life that they'd already predetermined, and they decided their priorities were greater and more important than what Jesus was saying. so they rejected what Jesus said. Others heard the word and thought, this is wonderful. I need this man. I need what he's saying. In fact, I need him. And their life began to change. And the parable describes it as a fruitful life that produces an abundance of crop. The change that happens in their life. But you see, the difference is not the word. The difference is not the hearing. It's how they heard. How are you hearing? How are you listening? Thank you. So for those who hear, there are two possible responses. Thanks. Here we go. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man. Thank you. So you can follow Jesus or you can ignore him. You can accept his teaching and follow it, put it into practice, or you ignore it. We've had the soils. We've had the foundations. We've had the soils. We're into the mirrors. Smoking mirrors here, guys. Stay with me. Come with me to James 1, 22 to 25. We're having a New Testament walk today. Thank you. This is a more contemporary illustration. I bet you have all done this morning. Every one of you, well, unless you're like me and you don't have to. To come, yeah? No, it's okay. Mirrors. Okay. Listen to what James is a New Testament writer, and he says this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Put it into practice, said Jesus. James says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. So we're now into doing what Jesus asks us to do. It isn't rocket science. Matthew 7 wasn't rocket science. He had a crowd of people. They didn't have iPads. They didn't take notes. They listened to him. It was going to be simple. Otherwise, they wouldn't understand it. When Jesus finished saying this, they said, amazing. So they understood it. Why can't we understand it? Why don't we understand that Jesus is saying, do what I say. And you'll be wise. Ignore it. You stupid. No, he says foolish. But there you go. You know what I mean? Just accept that there's something here. And this is what James is saying. We do the same. We look in a mirror and we think, oh, I need a shave. Walk away and forget it for the next 3 days. Until I come back and think, dear, I do need a shave. No, you look in the mirror, you see what you see and say, I need to do something about this. Thank you. Oh, so the invitation that Jesus gives is to follow him and allow him to be the foundation of our life and experience the comfort and stabilizing presence of Jesus with us when the storms come. Jesus promises to be with us wherever we go and to the end of the age. But we need to do what we need to do is to trust him. There's this fantastic verse. Have you come across Isaiah 42:20? Let me just read this for you. This is a lovely verse. It's about listening, getting it right. Because you won't ever trust him if you don't listen to him and learn what he's saying. So here we go. It says, you have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you don't listen. So what do you see when you look at Jesus? What do you hear when you listen to Jesus? That's the invitation that Jesus is making. To see him and to listen to him. And then there comes the choice. Walk away or walk to him. So Jesus promises to be with us wherever we go and to the end of the age, but we do need to trust him. Thank you. Here we go. So here's the application for you. We have the curious. So you're sitting here. The people sat and listened to Jesus. The crowd, they thought it was amazing teaching. And you've come this morning. I don't know if you want to be here. Let's assume you want to be here. And you're curious. Who is this Jesus? Well, I think you need to grow to know someone before you trust them. Very unwise to trust somebody you don't know. Could go back at the referendum at this point, which I won't. Thank you. One or two of you got that. But we need to hear, listen to what Jesus is saying, read about what Jesus is saying and who he is, listen to Jesus, what he's saying, and ask the question, is this Jesus someone I can trust? We have this wonderful opportunity in Christianity Explored over 7-8 weeks, 3 times a year, and we read Mark's Gospel together, and you sit around a table and you ask questions and discuss things, but we read through Mark's Gospel in 7 or 8 weeks. And it is just amazing. Because what you do is you ask someone to meet Jesus. And then to decide, are you going to follow him or not? It's not difficult. It's just you read Mark's account of the life of Jesus. And it's wonderful. Because over the weeks, you can see people beginning to ask the question, think, is he really like this? And you get 2 reactions. One reaction is, I asked one person, you know, when you've been reading Mark's Gospel, Mark's account of the life of Jesus, what, do you see Jesus as a person? And they said, no, I don't. No, I don't see him as a person. I see him as a fictional character, a bit like Hamlet in Shakespeare. And for 8 weeks, they read Mark's account of the life of Jesus, and he was never real. He was never a person to them. And then you have someone else, and you get to the end, and you say, who is Jesus for you? He said, well, he's clear, you know, he's the Son of God, isn't he? He's God. And he has authority. And you can see the change that takes place in their life over the 8 weeks. How are you doing about getting to know Jesus as a curious person? Are you listening to him? How are you listening? Hard? Rejection? Or difficult because Jesus begins to challenge the priorities of life? Or I accept this person for who he says he is, and I want to follow him. And I want him to be the foundation of my life. That's the question for the curious. But what about those who are seeking to follow him? What about the followers of Jesus? Have you heard Jesus speak to you about some area of your life over the last 7 months, 8 months? How have you got on? Sunday by Sunday, as people have stood here and you've opened up some of them out and discussed it in the life groups, and Jesus said some quite radical things. Has there ever been a point when you've listened and heard Jesus speak and you want to follow him, but he said something that is profoundly different to how your life is? And he's challenged you on that? How have you responded to that? Mirror style? Seen it, walked away, no different? Because it says, and deceive themselves. Are you deceiving yourself? That actually you've seen it, Jesus said it, but actually he didn't really mean that, did he? And I can carry on doing what I was doing? Or thinking what I'm thinking? Or reacting to that person who I've reacted for the last X numbers of years, and I don't need to change? Or have you heard the words of Jesus, put them into practice, and found Jesus to be the rock that holds life together in the hardest times? How are you getting on when the storms come? just very quietly, there's two ways to respond when the storms come. God is not God, therefore I will walk away from him. He would not allow this to happen to me if he were gone. That's one way you can respond. The other one is to say, no, God is gone, and he's graciously allowed this to happen to me. And I will trust him. And I will walk with him through this, because he said he'll walk with me. There's only two things you can do when the storms hit. And what you decide to do will be decided by the foundation you've already decided to lay. And if the foundation is money, relationships, property, whatever the foundation is, success in business, whatever it is, it's not enough. It really, really isn't enough. But Jesus is.